about crypto, which way to go, me right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.
Welcome to Crypto Junkies Podcast, Episode 7. We're so happy to have you here with us, and it feels like it's been a little while since we've been here.
Yeah, you know, we're here, we're alive, we're still trading, you know, we'll keep doing it.
So what are we going to talk about today? What do you all feel like getting into? I know there's been a bunch of disruptions in the market recently, a bunch of FUD, a bunch of crazy news. It feels like, you know, a lot can happen in the span of 2 weeks.
Yeah, so let's get into the price of Bitcoin right now. So Bitcoin is sitting at $39,004. It was up a few weeks ago around, what, $43,000,
$44,000? Yeah, it was close to like an all-time high, at least, you know, the overall all-time high is $64,000, but we haven't hit the $40,000, $45,000 in a while, and we did hit that, yeah. And then it completely dropped. Why all of a sudden the sudden drop?
Well, from my perspective, and this, my perspective is coming from someone who is interacting in Twitter a lot,
yeah,
and in the NFT space. So
is it me?
I'm not saying. Wait, what?
I said, is it me? No, I'm just playing.
Okay.
What, all the influential people?
Yeah.
Thunder Monkey.
Yeah, bro. I get some knowledge from you, so yeah, it could be you too. A lot of the crypto space and in the discords, a lot of the talk has actually been about the war and the potential for a war to happen. So
which war are you talking about?
Man, I don't even know what war they're naming it, but yeah. I'm not into it. I'm not really keeping in too much or falling into that.
Yeah, I guess narrative. Just the conflict between
Russia and Ukraine,
right?
Yeah. So I'm in different discords, and I've been into like the Looks Rare discord and other discords, and everyone, like even people, like they're just talking about the war.
Exactly.
So FUD plus the war, like that's not good for anyone.
Yeah, because there really hasn't been like any other issue going on right now other than Ukraine and Russia.
Exactly. Conflict. And usually when there's a lot of uncertainty in the world, investors tend to take out from their riskiest investments.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who consider crypto to be that risky investment. So there's a lot of money being pulled out and a lot of liquidity coming out of the crypto space. And I feel like that's the reason why Bitcoin and Ether and all the main cryptocurrencies have fallen.
I agree with you. It's just the crypto is the riskiest and NFTs are the riskiest investment. So it makes sense that when there's chaos and there's uncertainty on top of already trying to innovate a new space and get new people in, you know, we're having a struggle.
I kind of want to change the term that we're using. We're saying risky. I don't think that's the right term. I think that crypto is, there's a lot of uncertainty, right?
Yeah.
But the overall outlook of crypto is that it's going to continue to grow, right? So it's not a question of risk, right? It's a question that right now there's a lot of uncertainty. I believe that long term, and a lot of people believe that long term, crypto is the future. So there's no risk there. It's just,
it's like the uncertainty, like we have Joe Biden coming out with his executive order in the United States. Like what's going to happen on, it's Tuesday, right? He's announcing the executive order.
Wow. Correct.
So what is he going to do? What is he going to announce? I was talking to Alexis about this yesterday, and I was telling him he has to be bullish on this if he wants to get reelected. Or just in general to keep the economy pumping, right? He needs to be bullish on this whole.
Yeah, exactly. Order. Like there's every time that the midterms or the new president is getting ready to be elected, they have to do things that are extremely favorable to the population. If Joe Biden is going to enact some form of executive order or some type of regulation, kind of how Thunder was saying, it's going to be very bullish because he knows that he needs to do enact something in a positive manner for the midterms, for him and the Democrats to win in the midterms.
Is there any speculation, like anything you guys might have an idea of what he might do? Like what can he do? What can he do for crypto right now? Because they've already implemented a tax, right?
Like, well, not really. I mean, yeah, everyone is talking about the taxation, but you know, it's coming. But in actuality, until they get it down to the T, you know, what can they actually do? Because are you just subjecting yourself to being screwed over in taxes that aren't properly formulated?
Exactly.
And just, hey, well, you paid more in taxes than you should have. Yeah. Sorry.
So what kind of comes to mind to me, something that would be bullish, would be that the federal government recognizes that cryptocurrency should be taxed, right? That's unfavorable to begin with, but I think we all have to agree that at one point, cryptocurrency will be taxed in the US, right? But the bullish aspect would be, but the bullish aspect would be the percentage, the amount that cryptocurrency would be taxed, right? Yeah. So for example, how does it currently work? Short-term capital gains,
right,
and long-term capital gains. Short-term is what? It's basically your income. It could be 25, 30, 35, 40%, depending on which tax bracket you're at. But long-term capital gains is like 10, 15%, right? So long story short, if Joe Biden is going to enact some form of regulation, he should differentiate cryptocurrency and make it at a 5 or 10% overall tax rate. And I think that would be good for the space overall.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah, that would be, if I had a compromise, like as someone who doesn't want to compromise, then that would make me feel a little happier.
Well, you don't want to get taxed at all. 0%.
I don't want to get taxed at all.
Like, well, I mean, people back, you know, a few years ago weren't getting taxed on crypto.
And they weren't, bro.
They were getting massive gains. So.
I know. I wish we would have found out sooner.
Yeah.
But no, I don't want to get taxed. I'm tired of the government and all these, you know, just taking our money, bro, and misusing it. And just, you know, we recently talked about, and thank you, Daniel Thunder Monkey, for the video about how fiat works and how the laws have changed in what's backing the US dollar and what actually fiat is.
Right.
Like, and just to, from my perspective of the video, and y'all correct me if I, you know, say something that's not totally accurate, but from what I watched was that, you know, for these countries to be able to interact with each other and have this world exchange going on, they had to come up with a level of monetary exchange. So they used gold bars to value the dollar. And then off of the dollar, all the other made up currencies were going to be valued as well. So like,
correct,
the dollar was going to be king, but it's only valued on the gold that is in the reserve for that. So what ended up happening was that the US was in conflict and in war. We're talking about war, which is crazy, right? It's coincidence.
Similar situation.
Yeah. Now, all since looking back, you know, but it's just a speck in time, you know, if you're actually looking at it. I've been watching Elon in some podcasts, so you know how he thinks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that guy. He's funny. but essentially, like, the US was in conflict and war in multiple places, so they were asking the reserve to print out money, and they printed out so much money that the other countries were like, hey, you don't have that much gold in reserve to be printing out that money. And they started exchanging their currency for the gold, which is when President Nixon said, hey, we're going to protect the US dollar. And this is what we're going to do, and stop the exchange and change the whole monetary system.
Exactly.
And then that means
we're no longer a part of the gold standard, right? Where every US dollar is backed by the by gold itself. Yeah. But now it's switched where the US dollar essentially became gold for every other country. Every other country kind of values their currency based on the US dollar, and the global currency became the US dollar.
Damn, we're doing some economics 101 right here.
Hey, straight up, bro.
HISD, boy.
HISD, bro.
From that fit, whoa.
GPA 2.5 right here, bro.
Man, I didn't even know about college.
C's get degrees, bro.
So it's funny we mentioned, like, you know, the whole world's basing everything off the US dollar. But I was listening to another podcaster talk about how, like, China was making a transaction with somebody else. And, you know, typically it would be the US dollar that they would use. Well, apparently they ended up using the euro because it wasn't as inflated as the US dollar was.
And that gets the US government mad because they need to make sure that every global transaction is based on the US dollar. For example, man, Gaddafi. We're going way back. But Gaddafi, so my man Gaddafi, right? He had a lot of oil, I believe. And so he was trying to sell that to the global market, right? So he got a couple of bids, and a bunch of Chinese or Europeans or whoever the country was, they wanted to buy his oil, right? But Gaddafi had a contingency, and he was saying that if we're going to make this transaction possible, it has to be with the euro and not the US dollar. And the U.S. government doesn't fuck with that. If it's a global transaction and we are the global currency, you will use the U.S. dollar. So what happened? The U.S. government basically promoted Western propaganda,
right,
and went in there and invaded Gaddafi and killed him. And guess what? Everything's back to normal where the U.S. dollar is the global currency.
Wow. So, that's messed up, man. I didn't know that. Like, I knew the name Gaddafi. Right. But I didn't know that was like the backstory behind that.
That's Western propaganda, dude. Shit, that's just what we hear out here. But so you know, we're discussing that. I think that the U.S. is going to release their own stable coin in order for it to help with inflation, without a doubt. You know, I think they're going to have to do something with like 20 trillion tokens or 30 trillion tokens.
Absolutely.
The only thing about that is that the U.S. isn't going to be able to borrow stable coins from themselves,
right
because it's decentralized. You're on the blockchain, you're decentralized.
Nah,
I feel like any attempt that the U.S. government would do to enter the crypto space would always be a centralized version instead of decentralized version. And I think that the U.S. government should cannibalize itself, right, where it says, you know what, the U.S. dollar is no longer valuable. Inflation and hyperinflation is a thing. You know what's a crazy statistic that I just saw? 80% of all the paper dollars that the U.S. government has ever made has been in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw that.
80%?
80% of every dollar ever created in the past 2 years.
That's insane.
I think you're right, Thunder. I think that they will create a cryptocurrency to cannibalize itself and introduce themselves into the crypto space.
They'll probably end up saying like, all right, 10 trillion of these tokens are locked to the United States government.
Straight up.
Or you know, some stupid shit like that. 20 trillion tokens. just for future, you know, trying to get loans for themselves, stuff like that.
And going on the whole inflation thing, I was talking to you guys about an investment that I'm going to make pretty soon. And it's actually a house. So it's a real estate. And, you know, it's a pretty hefty investment for myself. And I was kind of asking people's opinions. A lot of people are like, you know, this is it's a housing bubble here in Texas. It's the people from California, you know,
selling. I hate that take, bro.
Going from, you know, selling their $1 million homes. And
what,
and
California?
Bro, I hate that take. I hate that Texans are always bashing Californians.
Listen to this. Look, let me put you in my perspective.
All right. I'm listening.
All right. I live in California. The cost of living, I'm making $100 an hour as an electrician in California, right? I buy my
union and everything.
My $400,000 home, right?
Yep.
And because of just these past years, the markets were hot, I was able to sell my $400,000 home for $1 million.
Damn.
And I bring my $1 million to Texas.
Straight up.
Our cost of living is cheaper. So opposed to me making $100, you know, I'm an electrician here. I'm not making $100 an hour.
Tag them right now, bro.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I'm making what the cost of living is here. But then you have several investors, and I get it. It's a free market. People can do whatever they need to with their money, but it becomes unfair for us because we're not making that $100 an hour.
Yeah,
I hear you.
We're not selling our houses for $1 million and taking it to another city and purchasing.
So your take is that Californians are disrupting our local economy.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. So I'm going to say it all the time. Like, if anyone needs a mattress, I'm the mattress hookup. I work at a mattress firm. Yeah. And I can get everyone set up across the country. But the reason I'm saying that is because I sell mattresses to people from Cali all the time.
Let me stop you real quick. This episode is sponsored by Texas Mattress Maker. Make sure to get yourself a Texas Speedic.
This guy.
Texas Speedic. Double the value, half the price.
Did you end up buying Texas Speedic?
Hey, tag him now.
No, this guy don't know about mattresses. If you want to know about mattresses, you can hit me up on Twitter at RaulRobertoGC. And I will hook you up better than online.
So we're talking about your investment, right? You had a big investment. Is it crypto related? What is it?
No. It's a house. And pretty much, it's gonna be a duplex, and it's an investment.
Did crypto help you with this investment?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, because I'm single, so like I don't know if I would have gotten approved for what I got approved for just with my salary or what I make a year alone. Like, I do make good money, but definitely I think seeing, you know, money coming in, big money coming in every month,
right,
from, you know, crypto,
yeah,
that probably helped. Yeah,
you would be surprised though. When me and Wendy were shopping for a house, mm-hmm. they're throwing out loans that are not financially responsible, right?
Did they give you a mil?
Bro,
did they give you a mil?
They gave me like 750,000, and I'm like, bro,
what?
There's no way in hell that me and Wendy's salary could pay a $750,000.
That sounds like 2008, bro. That's 2008 market crash.
Oh, don't tell me. Hey,
straight up.
Hey, bro, but you know, some people could have taken like advantage and like house hacked it, you know, like bought some duplex or some multiplex for 750.
That would have been the move, bro.
Yeah, but obviously we're still learning and everyone comes from a different point in their lives. And I know a lot of us here and a lot of our people listening don't know, or they might know because they know us, but like we come from a very humble
beginnings, right?
Beginnings and walk of life. And we've worked our way up to where we're at. And we're hold a lot
time
of
time out. Are we all first generation here?
Yeah. First gen.
First gen. First gen.
First gen. What?
First generation, like
first generation Pokemon, bro.
We're Charizards, bro. Charmander. We're
first generation Mexicans.
Mexican Americans, right?
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. I am.
Does your mom or your dad, are they from Mexico or no?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're all first generation. Hey, bro. We fucking made it, bro.
Yeah. No, look, I think it's good for us, you know, to carry this on to a different conversation. So maybe we can host like a Twitter Spaces. I listened to a Twitter Space the other day. We're not artists, but I heard them pretty much discuss their life story and what went on in their life, like how they came up with their parents. I think it'd be interesting like to discuss because, you know, I come from a poor background. And I think it'd be cool to introduce people, stuff like that.
No, straight up, because you know what's crazy? Like, there's a lot of times where I listen to success stories. I don't think we are there yet, but we're genuinely successful. Yeah, we're trending. We have momentum for success, right? But here's what I want to make clear. Whenever I hear these stories, and maybe it's internalized racism or something, right? Mm-hmm. But when I picture the person that is saying the success story, it's usually like a white person who's kind of who has generational wealth, who has, you know, and they've already been on the come up.
Right.
They, you know, were born with a good set of hands, right? But I just want to make it clear to everyone in the audience that none of us came from any type of generational wealth. We just kind of grew into poverty and we're trying to escape from it.
Let me interject, because I know we talk about NFTs and crypto and Web3 investments, collectibles, all this stuff. And this is for y'all to get better. And if you're interested in this stuff, it's for y'all to join us on this journey. But it's good that we're in this place just to talk, you know, about what it is. And like you said, we come from humble beginnings. So we come from humble beginnings. And I think what's helped us is like we all had to have like a belief in ourselves. And also, where I think we kind of are different from people who come from generational wealth that know what it's like to succeed, is that a lot of our, not every parent, because I think some of us have had like that good parent that instilled very good things, but like some of the parents are very fear-based and they stop us from failing, and they stop, or they tell us that we can't do something because maybe they believe they can't do it, or they don't know that it can be done. And I think that's what really holds back a lot of people that come from the gutter, a lot of people who are minorities, that you have people around you that are telling you that you can't do it. And eventually it sticks and you believe it yourself. So it really, it's important about who you're around, because that's going to amplify your success rate. And and just real quick before I let you go, my brother, I'm just so happy that I found Alexis in my life, because he was one of the positivities in my life.
We're gonna start crying here, dude.
Hey, bro, I appreciate you. You always know that. To continue that conversation, and I don't want to portray those people in a negative light, right? I think it's just more ignorance, right? And I'm not saying ignorance in a negative way. It's just like some people just genuinely don't know, right? They are so
stuck in their ways,
and they are just perpetuating these cycles of poverty that they can't even think that there's something different, right? Yeah. And so there's this a phenomenon, right? And I believe it's the crab phenomenon or something like that. Y'all have been to Fiesta over there on Airline and Cross Timbers or whatever on 45?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Y'all ever went to like the seafood area and y'all, there was like live crabs, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Right. So I bring that up, right, because here's what the phenomenon is, right? So a crab is always trying to escape, right? They're trying to escape the little igloo cooler, right? And they want to, like, escape, in our situation, poverty, escape our current situations that we want to prosper, right? But you know what always happens in that cooler? Another crab grabs them by the feet and brings them down,
drags them down,
right? And so that's the phenomenon, bro. I want you to keep that in your mind, bro, that, you know, people always say that, hey, Raul, you know who you are? You want me to know who you are? You know how I determine who you are as a person?
How?
By looking at the friends around you. And once I recognize the similarities of your friends, you don't have to tell me anything. I know who you are based on the people around you.
Yeah. Yo, I'm gonna start crying, dude. Oh, that's so deep, dude.
That's awesome.
That's so deep. My mom used to work at that Fiesta, by the way. So I was always
straight
at
up.
I was always at that Fiesta, bro.
You ever go to the frijoles and just kind of put your hand in there?
They used to have so many things. They used to have the frijoles. They had a bunch of little like candies and shit, bro. This is back in like 1990,
straight up.
Hey, bro.
The pre-COVID, you know, like we were fucking sticking our hands in that shit, licking our fingers, licking the candies, putting them back in the thing, bro.
That was before social media and. Hey, licking ice cream became a thing.
Yeah, straight up. I wanted to bring some up now that you said that. We all have neck problems, bro.
Yeah.
Is it because we're always looking down on our phone or what, bro?
Y'all have neck problems, dude.
Yeah. Well, this guy's fortunate.
Well, you guys work on computers all day, right?
We do as well.
Yeah.
So you have to look down on your desktop majority of the day.
I think right now a lot of people are going to start experiencing this. Maybe we're getting old, but maybe I mean I still feel young as hell. But like, you know, right now we're in the age of social media. So like on our phones, we're always constantly looking down, and that's bad for our neck, especially if you work on the computer, and I work on the computer for my job. So I'm on the computer and I'm looking down all day. Like that's really something we got to figure out, you know, and hopefully with the advent of technology, we'll have like either, you know, glasses or contacts or something different where we're not going to have to be looking down the whole time to interact.
I think the issue for me is like I have to look up. I'm always looking up at shit, and I think me and Zombie can attest that to that. When we're on jobs, I mean, most of the time all of our conduit and power installations are all up high, so majority of the time we're staring up. So
well, I think I was reading an article that there's something called like an electrician neck or like a plumber's neck or something like that.
Wrong. I've never heard of it, but that sounds
basically you get arthritis or carpal tunnel syndrome because you're always kind of moving your hands or looking up or some shit like that.
Yeah, and I, you know, I've worked around from that. They sell specific tools to prevent from getting carpal tunnel, but people always talk down on stuff like that. Like, oh, that's not how we did it back in the day. And I'm like, man, fuck all you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to save my fingers. Even, like, knees, too. Like, I wear knee pads. I'm trying to save my knees, dude.
But that mouth, dude, though.
But you know what I mean? So, like, I'm trying to save my knees.
Yeah.
If somebody talks shit, I'm like, it's all good, dude. And, you know, 5 years, you're fucked. And
exactly.
I, you know, I have a lifetime to be good on knees. So.
I've used knee pads before, too, in my...
For what, bro?
For when I was working scaffolding, bro.
Straight up.
Yeah, man. If you're on metal or on the floor, it kills your knees.
Yeah, but
you're over there in the, you know.
You hated that job. I remember you telling me.
Yeah, I mean, but it honestly, it taught me some things. You know, it helped me become a little more of a man. You know, working outside and getting that type of, and then also talking to a lot of vulgar ass men. Like you get to realize that you're pretty blessed if you're not in that field of you know, working construction sometimes or scaffolding, just because everyone there is pretty negative because no one, you know, when you're working these outside jobs where it's like labor intensive and these people do it, you know, not that they're bad people and they're negative, but you know, they do it out of necessity. They got to provide, they got to do certain different things, and maybe that's what they can do to make money, but no one goes in there smiling, you know. So it goes back to the whole.
It's kind of sad.
No, it is sad. It is very sad, bro. Everyone,
that is true. That is true.
No one goes in there smiling, and they're just waiting for the day to end, and you're nothing but negative men with negative men, bro. That's why men are very.
Like shit. Machista or
no, that's why men are a lot of men that work out there are shit because they just hang out with negative people that cuss and are vulgar the whole day. That's what they're going to portray to their families when they get home.
Exactly. It doesn't stop at the job site. They bring it into the household, right? Yeah. I was on TikTok and I was watching like construction workers, bro. Like that, the world that they live in is nothing like what I experienced, bro. Like there's no sense of. And I'm not downplaying it or I'm not looking down on them. It's just like an observation that there's no sense of professionalism. Like that everyone's just straight up talking shit to one another.
Well, see, and I think that's what's gained my thick skin when people talk shit I'm able to withstand you. If you could tell me fuck you all day and like
fuck it.
It's not going to bother me. You could tell me a lot of things and it won't bother me. But, you know, I've grown to. Because of my wife, like I've grown to understand feelings and emotions. And so I can kind of see different people's perspectives on how things are. But yeah, construction is a whole different ballgame for sure.
We didn't talk about your investment, your house and hyperinflation and all that shit.
So let's do it. Let's do it. So pretty much I'm going to make a big investment. Big for me, right? Almost 500,000. You know, let's just be out there.
That's like 5 V friends right there, bro.
Well, the V friend I got is worth more, but
damn.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, okay. But V friends has been rising. They're headed towards that 15th floor.
Yeah. So they're like a 14th right
Let's
now, right?
Let's go. Yeah.
I saw that, dude.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Yeah. But anyways, pretty much I'm making an investment and I was feeling a little bit worried about it just because, you know, it is a big amount of money that I'm committing myself to and I'm going to have to pay a lot more per month. Right. So now, the money that I was using towards investing and doing these free things. And I just had extra money that I was pretty much never worried about anything financial. But, you know, now with this big investment, I'll have to just pay attention more, right? I can't spend as, you know, frivolously as I want.
Some people would say that money you have is fake, bro.
It's not fake. You know, if you only know how much I cashed out in January.
Hey, bro. We all know you don't have what you say you have.
All right.
this guy here.
But that's good, man. No, definitely getting a house, in my perspective, is a great investment. Yeah. I bought my house 5 years ago, going on 6 years. I bought it at like $110,000.
Bro, congrats.
110, dude. And I'm pretty sure I can sell it for like 240, 250.
I don't think you could buy a house at 110,000 anymore.
And to you know, my house was already remodeled by the previous owners.
Awesome,
so,
brother.
So I mean, I didn't really have to do shit. Yeah, but
lots are starting to become so expensive that they're reaching the $110,000.
They are. I'm looking at lots around this area and you know, in close to the Heights, because pretty much everything around the downtown and the areas that are already expensive, there's no more land.
Yeah.
So everything around it is going to start to like get the effects of the property going up. So yeah. So pretty much with that, I was worried about the house, but then I was thinking about the market and inflation and everything that we've been learning. And I'm just like, and I've played like RuneScape and games that are virtual. And what you notice is that whenever there's a currency that's out for a longer period of time and there's ways to make and gain that currency or that token, people get extremely efficient at making it.
Yeah.
So once they figure out the ways to make it, then they're making it so much that it becomes inflated and all the expensive items are now worth way more. So our money is dropping in value. People know how to make the money. So they're making even more and more and more and more. And that's going to cause the things that are actually valuable to continue to increase in price because it just costs more now.
So, exactly. So did you ask your realtor if you could pay in cryptocurrency?
I asked and she didn't know enough, but she did tell me actually something that was pretty neat, which was that she went to go see like the first, you know, NFT house in Houston or something. There was a listing.
What does that even mean?
Was that the one NFT house? Was that the one your boy Richard mentioned?
Yeah. Yeah. So
what is that?
So it, I mean, all it was in is it was just a drawing of the house in NFT format, but you got it whenever you purchased the home.
Oh, okay. So you bought the NFT and...
No, you bought the home and you got the NFT.
Oh, okay.
But it was just a drawing. So it's very preliminary. Maybe someone did it just like, oh, it's the first one ever.
So imagine getting the title of your house through the blockchain.
I got even one better. So I've been talking to my real estate agent is Yvette Rubio. Y'all hit her up in the Houston market. And it's Richard's wife, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And they have a portfolio they're building. They've been building it for like 5-6 years now. So they're starting to become very like savvy. In the market, like the same way that we snipe things and that we start to work in our crypto market.
Yeah, like Floyd NFT.
Not like Floyd, like that one. They're doing that in the crypto. I mean, in the real estate market. So I don't know if they'll. I'll say it. Maybe they won't listen to the podcast, but pretty much what happened with them, like when you get experience in the real estate market, they were able to actually get a home for $3,500. They paid $3,500. And they just took over the bill, and
the tax bill.
No, the mortgage.
Okay.
So they were able to buy it for $3,500, take over the bill, and have $35,000 in equity. So
holy shit,
$35,000 flip, but they're keeping it and renting it out, and smart. The area continues to appreciate. So it's already appreciated some more. So like these little these things happen in all types of different markets. That's why it's good to start getting good at flipping and trading and being in this collectible space, because it goes with everything in life. If you can sell it, there's a way to do it and be profitable.
You know what comes to mind right now? Real estate has a lot of similarities with crypto, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's why, right? So crypto, it's immutable, right? Or non-immutable. Which one am I thinking of?
Immutable,
right? Which means that you can never replicate it. It's one out of one. That NFT is solely that NFT, right? And the same thing applies for real estate, where that piece of land, you just can't recreate that piece of land. It is solely that piece of land. Oh. And I feel like that, because real estate is immutable, that's why real estate continues to grow over time.
Right.
Thoughts?
Yeah. I was talking to bro. I'm so grateful right now just to you all, like you know, in this space and us just continuing to be in here and interact, because I just continue to meet people, bro. Like I don't know if it's because of our age or because of the work that we've put in. But like I just continue to meet people that like know stuff that can help you like continue to grow as a person and financially and all that stuff. But like I talked to someone and their take was like, yo, if you know luxury homes, there's certain luxury builders that sell their blueprints. You can do that in NFT style.
That's fire. Yeah, I like that. That's fire.
But I would never think of that. And I'm sure y'all wouldn't, because you're not in like deep in the real estate investor, all the know-how. But bro, this NFT is going to grow into like every freaking market. Like,
I work construction, bro.
No, well, you do work.
Don't disrespect me.
No.
Don't disrespect me, bro.
Yeah, no, you work construction. But I'm just saying like as far as like the, you know, like
third generation plumber right here. Bro.
I'm just playing, dude.
Like the investor thing, like if you're an expert in a certain type of niche, there's a way that NFTs or Web3 can interact that and make
sense. So what could I do as an NFT, as an electrician?
I don't know.
Like what could you do as an electrician?
Let me ask you this. When you're working in the electrician field, what is the biggest need, or what goes through your mind where you're darn it.
I do service work.
Right.
I go to a customer's building and they need a repair. And somewhere or sense, there could be an NFT that releases for an electrical company where you give that clientele a percentage off of their bill. So as all I could think of, right, mm-hmm. is you purchase my NFT for $100, $200, $300, but $300 or ETH, and you're able to get 20 to 30% off your bill because you're on my NFT platform.
Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, you know, is there any ideas that you might have, Raul?
Just got a spitball.
Yeah, spitball.
All right, so you're an electrician. You install electricity for people. let's see.
Well, for me, it's like there's a lot. Okay, I got you one. Right. Well, maybe not for you, but for me, because I understand, Sherwin Williams, and I still paint, right? Okay. So I got a bunch of people that come into my store, and they're like, "Oh, I need a better deal because I buy so much goddamn paint, right?" But the blockchain allows you to verify whether that's true or not, right?
Ah.
Exactly. So if the blockchain did exist in the paint industry, I would be able to look up all their transactions and be like, you know what? I can verify that you spend X amount of dollars in paint. So therefore, I'm able to allow, create a smart contract and be like, okay, since you meet this criteria where you spent you bought 1,000 gallons, I'll give you 10-15% off automatically based on the smart contract. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, yeah. No, that definitely makes sense. Because it doesn't have to be an NFT. It could just be a utility.
Exactly.
And that's definitely what the market's about.
One thing that Gary V has said recently as a statement is that right now NFTs are about collectability and a little bit of utility, which utility is like things that they're providing you. But in the future, it's going to be all about utility and a little bit 100%. Of collectibility.
100% agree.
Yeah. And well, I mean, this is just the beginning of it, right? So right now we're just into the artist, which I think is great. Yeah. There's artists out there who need to be recognized. Yeah. We're getting into their art.
That's crazy. We've helped. We've invested. But like this whole space has helped artists, bro.
No, and it's beautiful because there have been artists have been in that situation where like, oh, you're going to go get an art degree in college. Oh. And you don't necessarily have to go to college.
Just got to be naturally talented, but
exactly. Put in the work.
The people who genuinely invested so much money are actually able to get returns in the crypto space that were not possible or realistic in the real world.
There's artists becoming millionaires.
Yeah. And so this kind of reminds me of like back in the day where like SoundCloud came out and there was a bunch of artists who started coming out with music and people started catching on to them. A lot of artists started blowing up. You had like Post Malone, you have Chance the Rapper come out of SoundCloud. I'm sure there's a few more out there, but
Crypto Junkies podcast.
Yeah, freestyle.
Yeah.
What's it called? But it's beautiful to see that the artists out there who have worked really hard and they have really great artistic backgrounds, like come out with stuff and release their content out to the free world.
Yeah. Like we were, did y'all hear about the whole Budweiser thing that they did with the musicians?
The collabs, right?
Yeah. The collaborations with, what was it? Budweiser Royalty. That's the name of it. And they came out with a lot of artists. I think 22 artists that they came out with. And it's pretty neat because I really loved it because I really like music. Me personally, I like to sing, and then maybe I'll get back into that. But like I had to do my research and listen to these artists' music because it's NFTs, right? And if these artists blow up, then these NFTs gain collectability, they gain value. So I really was doing my research and I felt like if I was a recruiter, like a label, like signing on this artist of their NFT that I was going to buy. So that was really neat.
Is there any artists that you want to shout out like from there?
Yeah, man. I'm really falling in love with Blue the Tiger.
Blue the Tiger?
Blue D-E Tiger.
Blue the Tiger.
Yeah.
What kind of music is it?
House music, pop, rock.
Man, I should know my music genres better, but
well, what kind of like what's the feel? What's the feel? Norteños? Like just in your perspective, what's the feel for it?
Don Chente.
let's pull it up and see.
Yeah, look. Say how.
What it do?
Full of calm down. Full of smoke a pound.
Nice today's.
Okay. Gives me a pop vibes. No, alternative vibes.
Yeah,
that's what it gives me.
I like that.
This is an NFT we can buy right now, y'all. Imagine if Drake came out and released his NFT.
Oh, bro.
I don't like supporting major artists.
No?
Not for NFTs.
What if he created a one-on-one
NFT? They're not major.
No, not them. I'm saying like, Drake.
But what if like Drake came out a one-on-one NFT where it's like a hot sauce with a condom on
it,
bro?
Care, bro.
Dang. I'd buy that shit in a heartbeat, bro.
I don't care, bro. I don't support major artists or major celebrities like coming out with NFTs.
This gives me like alternative vibes, 100%.
It's kind of like Tame Impala.
Tame Impala. It's exactly what I'm thinking.
Like MGMT type shit. Yeah, that's good. No, I mean, so you have it there. It's was it Blue the Tiger?
blew the tiger. Yeah. Not T-H-E tiger, but
D-E
tiger.
Blew the tiger. And that one's called Cotton Candy Lemonade.
No, that's a good song. Yeah. But yeah, like what I'm saying, like
skies in my eyes.
Yeah, the boy showing off, bro.
Yeah.
But like, so,
open wide.
Are you recording or what?
Yeah, we're recording. Okay, we're going. This is a live show. Bro. Right?
We're fucking live.
No, so like, yeah, I don't I mentioned before in the previous podcast, I don't support major celebrities. I don't like Snoop Dogg being in this fucking NFT space.
Oh, no?
Wait, what? Snoop Dogg's?
Yeah.
I'm going to go see Snoop Dogg at VCon.
No,
what?
I fuck with Snoop Dogg as a person, his music. I don't I don't like these celebrities being in the NFT space, bro. Like, why are we giving them more money than
bro? Like,
why are you giving them more money?
You're right. You're right.
Why are we going to give JP
Morgan? But they have a certain amount of clout that
I get the clout, but why are you going to give JP Morgan and Decentraland your money?
I'm not. Fuck them.
Isn't that where we're trying to get away from?
100%.
Why give McDonald's? Why go buy a Big Mac inside the metaverse?
But
damn, bro.
But
okay, hold on. I'm gonna call you out on that bullshit.
Yeah,
Here's why.
Go for it.
Nike bought Artifact. Are you telling me
oh.
that if you didn't have enough money, you wouldn't buy Artifact right now?
Well, when it was cheaper,
no,
you would have bought it.
They bought Artifact, but Artifact is still a division of Nike.
Okay, let me rephrase that. If you bought Artifact before Nike bought them out, would you have sold on Artifact?
If Artifact had never got bought by Nike, I wouldn't have bought the Clone X. Because it didn't attract me. I didn't like the art.
Gotcha.
They're funky shit. But if Artifact continued to do what they were doing, they would have been. There still are a brand within themselves. Nike
Agreed.
Just kind of helped them
yeah.
get the recognition.
They're the parent company, essentially.
Get the recognition they deserve.
Hey, but, bro, why do we hate celebrities so goddamn much in this goddamn podcast?
I don't.
Hey, bro, what was it? Episode 4? We're fucking dogging on celebrities for like 5
minutes.
It was 2 episodes ago.
I know Ro doesn't.
I don't.
But I just don't see like why are we giving them more money?
Let me tell you. Let me plead my case with the celebs. So first and foremost, I feel that we are a people and we all have something special about each of us to contribute. And even celebrities, like I get your point, right? Because it's a cash grab, and most of them do screw over the regular person.
Pushing P.
Yep, pushing P. But there's people and celebrities who are legit and genuine and who show love and who are going to help innovate the space.
What celebrity is genuine for you? Not Gary Vee because he's...
But he is kind of, but...
Well,
you know, but
anybody else besides him, who do you think?
Who would be a celeb that...
Gatto.
Steve... Well,
Steve Green?
No.
Or no, what's his name? That's not his
name? The guy from...
Steve Green.
No, the guy from Linkin Park... is he the DJ, the rapper? What is his name?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, so the guy from Linkin Park, he's in the space. He's doing some good, spreading some knowledge. I personally do like Paris Hilton. I like what she's having to say. Like, she went through some shit in her life growing up. I like what she's shining a light on. She pretty much was kidnapped or taken to boarding school.
So
is that true?
Yeah.
So look, let's bring up not really a celebrity, but most of us know him, Joe Rogan. They've been trying to tell him what NFTs are. He's still kind of clueless about it, but he was like, "Look, if I do an NFT, I'm gonna release it. Whatever money that I make, it's going back to whatever charity, 100%."
That's the right move, right?
He's like, I got a fuckload of money. I don't need that shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me give it to the charity that needs it, the utility behind it. I'm giving it 100% to cancer awareness or 100% to, whatever, this and that.
Right.
But let's be real a little bit. Like, celebs, they're going to help out the space by bringing in people to actually come and listen because, to the truth be told, people idolize celebrities. You know,
and I agree.
And the reason too, and let's be real, is because some celebrities are fucking cool. Let's be honest about it. Like, we're not gonna, your friends, you're attracted to them because you like them, because you think they're cool, because you think they're great. But if you thought they weren't cool and they were shit, then you wouldn't be hanging out with them.
But like,
you know,
so there was a Jim Carrey interview And this is good. This is good content. So there's a Jim Carrey interview where somebody went up to him and idolized him. He's like, I shouldn't be your idol. He goes, I'm just an actor. You guys shouldn't be idolizing me. I'm just a person just as you are. Yeah. And so celebrities, what gets me, and this is the only thing that bothers me, they release an NFT project.
Yeah.
And they get a fucking 80% cut, 70% cut out of these projects, dude.
Right.
And they're just seeing it as a
cash
tax deduction for them. It has to be a tax deduction. They're donating 20%, 30% to charities.
Yeah.
It's just a tax deduction for them.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the only way I've seen it. Don't get me wrong.
So
it's nice because it does help the NFT space.
Exactly.
You have influencers. It boosts people like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Snoop Dogg's in this shit. Or you have Drake in this. You have The Weeknd, stuff like that, and so on and so forth. But I also want to see, like, I'm donating. And I don't know if Shaq's project was like that. I know Shaq did a project.
Yep, he donated.
But I don't know if it was like, I'm donating 90% of this NFT money.
No, I don't remember.
Back into the charity.
So, yeah, I definitely agree, right? I don't want it to be a cash grab for celebrities, but I definitely do think that we need them in order to generate more mass adoption
awareness
for the public, right?
Yeah, because, like, even though we're not supposed to be idolizing, and for the most part, I don't, but, you know, other people do, and the masses do, because, honestly, this is a social currency type of world. And the attention, you know, that these celebrities generate, it matters. That's why people are buying Chanel handbags, because they want to show off.
Yeah.
It matters who you follow.
Social media thing, right?
Yeah. So that's gonna continue to be key, yeah. Because even if you think about Web3, like, think about how crazy social media got with Web2, right?
Yeah. The adoption of Facebook, MySpace, all that shit, yeah. Twitter, right?
Yeah. So what happens now when it gets even more immersive? And now we have the next level. The internet just leveled up. That's what the fuck just happened.
It really did, huh?
The internet leveled up, and we're going about to go through a new phase in this next 10 years of evolution of the internet and how immersive it becomes.
Yeah.
So that's only going to grow. Our society is social-based.
Yeah,
and because humans like hanging out with other humans,
yeah,
they like having fun, they like escapism.
Exactly, and I think Web 3.0 kind of elevates that, right? Where it's not just the social aspect, but it's the financial aspect. Everybody wants clout, everybody wants to show off, everybody wants to signal to everybody else, I have money, I have wealth, I have a fucking Bored Ape Yacht Club. I have connections. I have the one-on-one NFT Crypto Junkies podcast.
Yes.
You know, they want to show that wealth.
I listen to Crypto Junkies podcast.
That Gary V meme, bro. Did y'all see that Gary V meme? With his face. Or not the meme. Well, yeah, I guess it's a meme.
Yeah.
His face, bro, where he was on that news. And she was telling him, like, oh, there's all this racial shit going on in NFT space. And then Gary V's like, well, I mean, this shit's going on everywhere.
Exactly. Like, it's human nature, right? And I love that take from Gary V, right? He says, this is not a crypto problem. It's a human problem.
Yeah.
Wherever humans go, racism, sexism, tax fraud, criminalism, all the bad aspects of humanity will exist anywhere that humanity interacts with. It's not a crypto problem. It's a humanity problem.
Yep.
Yeah, we're exactly.
Hey, bro, close this out.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crypto Junkies podcast episode 7. We love spending this day with you. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Once again, this is Havoc.
This is Daniel, aka ThunderMonkey.eth. Thanks for listening, guys.
And we're signing out.
Bye. Boop.
Peace. Boop.
Crypto Junkies NFT talk. Turn it on. Crypto Junkies NFT talk. That's my show.
Hello, let's talk crypto. Which way to go? Need right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge. You got it. Technology on the move. We ride.